friends. Welcome back to the Woven in Truth podcast. I'm Mallory, your host. Thank you for spending some time with us today. We have a really special episode and I can't wait to dive in with you all. So I'm excited you're here. And also I'm thrilled my new long lost friend, Elena Rosenquist, is on the podcast with me. Thank you so much for joining me, Elena.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me. I'm so honored. And I'm glad that we figured out that we're actually soulmates
too. I know. Guys, we just figured this out too, like recently. We're like, wow, kindred spirits, 1000%. And isn't it wonderful, like finding these people who like speak to your soul? I don't know. It's so cool. I don't know. I just really like you. And I'm so excited to share you with the Woven in Truth community. Because I just feel like you are, I was telling you yesterday, but I just feel like you're so spiritual, brilliant, but so genuine. And I just think anything you say just changes my life. So I'm so excited that you're here with me.
You're so sweet.
Sorry, I'm not trying to make you embarrassed, but I can't wait to share you with more people. We keep referencing Parks and Rec, like Leslie Knope and Anne, for those that watch that show. But we keep making ourselves laugh. So anyways, Elena, could you introduce yourself a little bit to our listeners so they can get to know you before we dive in?
Sure. I'm Elena Rosenquist. I currently lead the church in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania with my husband, James. Mm-hmm. We have two children. Jack is 5 years old and Anna is 2 years old. And they are both sweet and fun and silly. And I just have a blast with them. I also work as a nurse. I work on a surgical oncology floor.
Wow.
It's about twice a month. So I call it my hobby that pays really well.
Wow. Seriously.
But I also enjoy that too. And yeah, that's a little bit about my bio and background.
Mm-hmm. That is so cool. I did not know that. That's amazing. Like you have these like amazing ministries and like different capacities. Like that is so wonderful. So what are you going to be talking about today? What are you going to be taking us through? Can you tell our listeners?
Yeah. So I'm going to be talking about rest and Sabbath. I have been on a journey learning about these things and really learning the biblical perspective of them. I've been reading books, the Bible, spiritual books, having deep conversations with people and with God. I've been striving to practice a Sabbath day rest. I've even gone on a couple solo retreats by myself to really just understand rest, practice rest, and hear what God and Jesus are saying to me.
Wow. Okay. What started you on that journey? Like, was there something that kind of put you on this? Cause I'm in a similar spot too. That's why I'm so excited to dive into this more with you. I feel like I've learned and experienced more Sabbath in the last 6 months than I heard than I even heard the word Sabbath in like the 30 years prior. So I'm just curious what kind of like catalyzed this for you.
Yeah. So I just kind of came to a breaking point, which I feel like in a lot of your episodes, like when people share things that they're on a journey with, they're like, I just came to a breaking point.
Right.
Or like,
we all have breaking points.
Yeah. Like it was not working. Like I just had so many like weird views about rest that I really just thought I need to like detangle these views and really understand what does the Bible say about this? Like the culture that I grew up with, and kind of to give you more of my background, like I grew up in the middle class, white suburbia, northeastern coast of the United States. And I didn't grow up in the ICOC family of churches, but I started attending the Philadelphia Church of Christ when I was like 15 years old and was baptized at 16. So I feel like I have a mix of like kind of feeling like I grew up in this church, but also different.
Okay.
But I that was kind of the culture that I grew up in. And that culture was a lot of like performance and like be very productive. Like being productive, it's like a huge high value system in the culture that I grew up in.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people can relate to that too, even if they weren't in the exact same culture, but this just like value of productivity.
Right. Which I think is cultural as well. Like church culture, totally. But then like in general as well, at least in North America, like from what I've gathered. I'm curious, our listeners that live other, you know, places, if this is like a global phenomenon, but like this glorification of busy and of you are what you do, and you're, you know, like, God helps those who help themselves kind of thing. Like, I think some of those sentiments get really ingrained, and then it's very hard to rest in that space. So I'm excited to hear more of kind of what you've learned, and that we could kind of journey through that with you. So please, like, tell us more.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, so the past, I really saw my need to kind of change this view of rest. Mm-hmm. In the past, I saw rest as a weakness.
Yeah.
It was something that I had to earn or work really hard. Like, I could have that after I worked really hard. Mm-hmm. And I have often felt guilty about resting, mm-hmm. which we talked about a little bit before. Mm-hmm. You know, I can feel weird about it. I feel different, like just uneasy in it. And I also didn't really understand biblical rest. Mm-hmm. You know, again, like this just idea of value and productivity. And I even thought like resting has to be productive.
Yeah.
So when I started in the paid church ministry, which was almost 9 years ago in Pittsburgh, which shout out to Pittsburgh. It's a very lovely, beautiful, livable city, super affordable. If anyone wants to move here, the church leaders are amazing.
Yes.
But when we started in the ministry, the leaders that were training us really made it a point that we needed to take a day off.
Yeah.
I'm really grateful that they did that. That was really helpful. But even though I took a day off, it wasn't really restful.
Right.
I often was like running around trying to do all the things that I didn't get to do that week. Things like laundry, cleaning, grocery shopping, doctor's appointments, mm-hmm. errands. All those things like felt like they had to happen that day.
Right.
And then I would also use that day to like read the Bible a lot more, but it was more to read to be able to like work on the lessons and Bible studies that I would have that
week. Right.
It wasn't really like for me to know God and connect.
Yeah.
I would pray for longer periods of time, but it was usually about the issues of the past week.
Which makes you all stressed out. And
exactly. So I would like fill up my schedule, my day off. It would be used with all this prep time and all this stuff. And even though I had this day off, I was still in the mindset that I had to be productive. And this went on for several years. But after having my second child and struggling with mental health after postpartum depression, anxiety, I was just exhausted and something had to change. Mm-hmm. But I'm curious, Mallory, what do you like? How has your view of rest been?
Oh, that's such a good question. I think that's part of what I've been learning, a lot of the same things. And there's this weird dichotomy that I think is deeply ingrained in me, that I saw rest as a reward for hard work. Does that make sense? Like, I've had to reframe to understand that I'm designed to work from a place of rest and not work for rest, and kind of fight against that glorification of busy I mentioned earlier. And it's a very different posture. And for me, like, my wake up call when it came to rest was, I have my friend who's also my hairstylist that I adore, and a few different women from our church go to her. She's wonderful. And I've known her for years. I really feel like we're friends. We like do Christmas presents and all this stuff. Aww. And not that I get my hair done all the time. It's like every 6 months or something like that. But anyways, when I do see her, I adore her. And okay, probably like 3 months if I'm being honest. And she, one time I was inviting her to like a women's event we had or something that I was planning. And she stopped whatever she was doing, turned the chair around, like very seriously, like sat in my face, like kind of was like, listen to what I'm going to say to you, you know? And she said, no offense, but in no way do I want your life. Like, yeah, every time you come in here, you're running to something else. And half the time you have a migraine brewing. And she was like, and this was this huge wake up call where I thought I was working so hard and like glorifying God and like, but I was not okay. And that was not something that other people wanted for their life either. Like, rest isn't a bad thing to desire and cultivate in our lives. And I think that's something that I had to kind of see and experience it that directly. You know what I mean? So that's been kind of my experience.
Yeah, no, that's so powerful because it's like we're Christ's ambassadors.
Right.
And then people are like, yeah, but you're rugged and ragged.
Right.
Like nothing that I want about your life. That is so convicting.
I know. I was like shrinking in the chair, but it was good. It was so good. Yeah. For me to hear and reframe and not see like this as a self-care strategy, but something God might be really inviting me into.
Yes. Yes. So yeah, I've realized a lot of unhelpful thoughts that I've had about rest. And I was judging myself a lot when it came to rest, which made that rest not actually restful. It usually would go like this. I would tell James, I need a break. I'm exhausted. I need to rest. And in our marriage, we really like, we're a team. Like yeah. If I need to tap out, he's right there in my corner to tap in and that's vice
awesome.
Versa.
That's awesome.
But even so, I would still feel guilty about asking. Mm-hmm. I would feel needy and feel uncomfortable with feeling needy, even though I was in need.
Right.
I'd feel guilty from taking away from his time for work or rest. I'd feel guilty about not being strong enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought if I was strong enough, I would not need to tap out or need mm-hmm. a break. So usually what I would do with those guilty shame feelings is I would drown them with social media or TV.
Yeah.
And after an hour or so of that, of just drowning them, those feelings were still there. Because I spent an hour or so doing that, I would feel even worse because I was like, I wasn't productive, that wasn't meaningful, and I'm still exhausted.
Right.
I felt like I needed breaks from my breaks. But when I actually planned for and allowed myself to rest without judging myself, mm-hmm. I was rested.
Mm-hmm.
That's such a difference. And when I say like plan for it, like I really mean like put rest in my calendar.
Right.
I do that. It's purposeful. It's intentional. When I rest like this, it helps me to be able to do the things that I want to do and do them well.
Well, and then you're not waiting till you have nothing left. Right?
Yes.
Like you're anticipating that and planning for that. And that's such a different way to live. I love that.
Right. Right. Instead of waiting for, you know, the battery to completely die and then have mm-hmm. to wait to charge it. It's like, okay, I'm at 25%. Let me recharge now.
Right. Right. Before I go crazy. Yeah, totally.
Yes. Yes. And before I would like miss out on a lot of things that I value. I would miss out on time with friends or with family, with church, because I would hit my limit. I would feel sick. I would feel exhausted and just done.
Yep.
And I didn't want to burn out. I didn't want to become bitter, but I was on my way there and I needed to get myself out of that road.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So during my rest time, I usually ask myself now, what does my body need and what would be helpful for me to make the rest of the day go well?
Mm-hmm.
And that's such a helpful pause during the day that I can kind of reset my mind and my body.
I like that.
You know, sometimes what I do is I take a nap. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I do yoga. Sometimes I watch an episode of TV. Sometimes I read, I meditate, I talk with a friend. But whatever I do, I make sure that it's restful and that it sets me up for the rest of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes this rest time is just 20 minutes. Sometimes it's an hour and 20 minutes. But it doesn't have to be complicated. It's just really a time to check in.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's interesting because we live in this like self-help, self-love, self-care culture, which I think can be really good for us in our culture, just kind of making that turn.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're always just looking towards ourselves and not Jesus to refresh us,
right,
we're really depriving ourselves of true refreshment.
Right, right.
You know, like a vacation, a spa day, some time to unplug, these are all great. And I really recommend those things, but they're not going to solve my problems.
True, true.
Jesus, he's my Prince of Peace. He's my comforter. He's the way, truth, the life. He's our source for living water.
Mm-hmm.
And he offers us the fullest, life to the fullest, and he's going to give us rest. I want to share some scriptures that have helped me give myself permission to plan for and allow myself to rest without judgment. So you probably are like anticipating this one, but Psalm 46, verse 10, the NIV says, he says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. So yeah, this is probably like, you know, on your coffee coaster or something like that, you know, just to be still and know, like I have a couple journals with that on there, but I wanted to read it in two different translations because I think that kind of brings it to life a little bit more. So in the NASB, it says, stop striving and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth. I love that. Stop striving. Instead
That's
of be
so good.
Stop striving. Know that I'm God. Like it's because I know God, I don't have to keep going and going and going. I don't need to know and do all the things. Especially, I don't need to do the things that are pulling me away from depending and knowing on God.
Ooh, yeah.
I can be still. I can stop striving. Now, I want to add there too, like, yes, like we want to spiritually strive. We want to work and do things well. Like mm-hmm. God even made us, he made us to work. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, even in Genesis 1 verse 28, he tells mankind, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth, subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds of the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. So he's giving us this call, be productive, rule, right. Have dominion, work the soil, use the things that I've given you to the best of your ability. Mm-hmm. But we also need to know when enough is enough mm-hmm. and to stop working, to stop striving, to know that God is in control. God is enough for us. God is good and loving and wants us to celebrate. And he doesn't want us to become workaholics.
Yep.
And then in the Passion Translation, Psalm 46 verse 10 says, surrender your anxiety. Be still and realize that I'm God. I'm God above all the nations. I'm exalted throughout the whole earth. I love that. Like, mm-hmm. I can surrender my anxiety to God. And I can do that when I pause mm-hmm. and I'm still for a moment and realize that God is God, not me. He's mightier, higher, wiser, and way better at being in control than I am. Mm-hmm. But this rest in this biblical sense, it requires surrender. When we're trying to do it all, we're not surrendering. Right. We're usually gripping for control. Rest requires humility. It requires humility to truly believe in our hearts and mind that I don't have to do it all and I can't do it all. Mm-hmm. So my next scripture is Matthew 11, verse 27 to 29. It says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus is saying, come to me. When you're weary and burdened, come. I will give you rest. Jesus wants us to come to him. I know for me and for a lot of other people, thinking about Jesus can make us maybe even feel more inadequate.
Yeah.
So sometimes when we're weary and burdened, Jesus can feel like the last place to go to. Mm. Yet Jesus is like, I want you to come to me when you're weary and burdened.
Yeah.
And then this next line is just wild to me. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So like, stop, like a yoke is a farming tool. I'm kind of like, a farming tool? Like, really, Jesus? Like, I feel like you should be like, here's a mattress, here's a fluffy blanket, here's a lavender-scented pillow. But he's like, here's this tool.
Yeah.
It's a tool. And he wants us to learn from him and watch him. Uh-huh. What's crazy that is that Jesus is the tool. Mm-hmm. What he does, how he lived, is a tool for us to learn about how we can live too.
Right.
And this tool that Jesus uses, a yoke, it's not by accident or random that he uses a yoke to describe this, but it's a yoke was something that brought two animals together. Jesus wants us to be connected to him, to be brought together with him to do life together. In this passage, Jesus also tells us the secrets to rest. Mm-hmm. It's about having a heart that's gentle and humble. Mm-hmm. We can look at this scripture in the Gospels and see Jesus's life and learn how Jesus was gentle and humble. I'm just going to look at two scriptures, but there's like so many more that just describe Jesus's humility and gentleness. Matthew 14, 15 to 16. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. Jesus replied, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. I love this. I see Jesus's gentleness here. He's thinking about the people in the crowds. He's thinking about what they need physically. as well as spiritually. You know, maybe he knew that they wouldn't make that long journey late at night to get food and prepare it. They didn't have the Chipotles or Chick-fil-A's. Like, they had to like get it and prepare it. Jesus is gentle with us. We can be gentle with ourselves and with others. But I think oftentimes we're the opposite and we're kind of harsh. Mm-hmm. I think about how often when we are tired, do we actually honor that request from our body and give it what we need, mm-hmm. or plan to give it what it needs?
Right.
So I shared that after I had my daughter, I had struggled with postpartum anxiety and depression, and I went to see a postpartum specialized counselor. And every session with her, she would tell me how much I'm doing and encourage me to be gentle with myself. Mm-hmm. I literally just paid this woman to tell me to be gentle with myself. And after a while, I was like, I can either keep paying her or I can actually be gentle to myself.
Yeah.
In John 5:19-20, Jesus says, Jesus gave them this answer. Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these. So you will be amazed. I love this. Jesus does only what he sees the Father doing. Mm-hmm. He's humble. Jesus isn't trying to do it all, even though he could. Jesus wasn't trying to build up his ego. He was just trying to follow and glorify God. A while ago, a mature woman of faith shared with me some wisdom that I still hold on to. She told me, humans were created by God perfectly and wonderfully, and research has shown that most humans are created to require at least 8 hours of sleep a day. So it would not be humble. In fact, it would be arrogant for us to deny how we are created to be.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
So good.
So I also wanted to start about this conversation about Sabbath rest, a time period where we practice Sabbath, which biblically is a day of rest, specifically rest from work. This has been a really incredible to incorporate in my life, and it's actually all over the Bible. But it hasn't really been something, as even you mentioned, something that we've been talking about lately. As I've been learning about rest the past 2 years, I keep coming across this idea of Sabbath. At first, I was kind of like, oh, that's just something that Jewish people did, mm-hmm. but that's not really for Christians. Or I would think, well, Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath, and he often broke the Sabbath rules, so we don't have to follow them either.
Right.
And then I would also think, well, sacrificing of animals is over, so like, so is Sabbath, kind of like the same thing.
Like it was just a dated thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm curious, like, what has come to your mind when you've heard Sabbath?
Okay. So initially, similar to what you were saying, I think there was a lot of gray area for me, kind of on the misinterpretations of the heart behind it. So I had to kind of reframe my understanding from being this like dated, like legalistic command. Yeah. To a refreshing invitation. So for me now, it's rest and worship is what comes to mind now. But if you would have asked me a year ago, I'd probably been like, I don't know. but I also think of like the do not disturb feature on my phone. Like that's what pops to mind when I think of Sabbath.
Totally. And that's like what I use on Sabbath too.
Same.
Yeah, that's so funny. Yeah, so Sabbath was actually first started by God. God rested after he created the world and everything in it. In Genesis 2, the word rested is Shabbat in Hebrew. And that's where we get the word Sabbath. And it means to stop, to cease, to be complete. It can also be translated to means to celebrate. You know, I'm still very much, and Mallory can say that too, we're still very much in this learning process. You know, I'm not an expert in any way, but I wanted to share some things that I've been learning about the Sabbath. And here's my working definition of Sabbath rest so far. It's a day or time frame of delighting in God, delighting in creation, delighting in the work God has done and we have done. Sabbath is when we do not work. Sabbath is not just a date, but an atmosphere or a mindset. Sabbath is an exodus from tension. Sabbath is a gift from God to mankind. Sabbath is refreshment. Sabbath is a time to rest and celebrate. Sabbath is having that living water that Jesus talks about with the woman at the well. Sabbath means that I have enough and I am enough. Sabbath is a command from God in the Old Testament. Sabbath was practiced by Jesus, just maybe in a way that seems different than how other people practiced it. Sabbath was practiced by Jesus's followers even after his death. The woman waited until after the Sabbath to prepare Jesus's body for burial. Sabbath is wisdom. Sabbath is not a day off, but rather a day of resting and celebrating God. I really enjoyed reading John Mark Comer's books. He has this one book called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. Mm-hmm. And in it, he discusses four translations of the Hebrew word Shabbat. And he incorporates kind of those interpretations with how to Sabbath. So one of the interpretations is to stop. He says, we cease from all working, all thinking about work, and all worrying and wanting. The second is rest. We rest our soul from our whole person. Physically, we sleep. Mentally and emotionally, we calm down, relax, process the week. Spiritually, we cease our striving and rest in God's love for us through abiding. The third is delight. We pamper ourselves and our souls with activities that spark joy, wonder, gratitude, happiness, like eating good food, walking in nature, spending time with family or friends, listening to music, playing games, having special time with our spouse, or just having fun before God. And the fourth is worship. We guide our heart towards grateful praise and adoration of God, and we surrender our life to Him one week at a time. So this is like my working list of what Sabbath is. And I'm sure I'll probably add more, or maybe even change some of this in the future. But that's what I have so far. And I kind of wanted to know, like, what were your thoughts about them?
Like hearing you talk through all that, I don't know. It even felt like tension went out of my body. And I'm like, I want a Sabbath right now. I love this. I think a couple of things that resonated with me as you were talking was an exodus from tension. Mm-hmm. And it means that I have enough and I am enough. I love that. I see it as an invitation to live, like, spiritually, but also physically, and live to the full. Like, it just, as you're talking and describing all these things, when I see it, Sabbath in that context, I just see it as an extension of God's kindness. Mm-hmm. And it does remind me of the way Jesus lived, like you referenced earlier, that the yoke of Jesus really is easy and light. And I literally have the book you referenced on the table right now, because it's real. So good. I read it and all the way through, and then I've kind of was rereading parts of it in preparation for this discussion we're having, because it's been a huge one for me. And I love when he says that Sabbath is more than just a day. It's a way of being in the world. It's a spirit of restfulness that comes from abiding and living in the Father's loving presence all week long. So like you said, it's not just this day off. It's an invitation to slow down and simplify our lives around, like, what really matters. So it's that kind of cultivation of a spirit of restfulness, all 7 days of the week. Like, this is how I want to live, not just have this one day a week. For me, it's Mondays. That's when I Sabbath. Yeah. But I think to not just live like that Monday, but really carry that with me in my existence as someone God loves and takes care of.
Yeah. And that's the power of Sabbath too. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just one day done, you know, but it changes us. It changes our week.
Right.
I love how you said it's an invitation. I'm going to add that to my little.
Yes. Not an obligation. It's an invitation. That's what I have to think about. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. So this is very different than what I typically thought was my day off.
Right, same.
You know, Sabbath isn't a time to get things done.
Right. It's not, or catch up. That's what I would always say. Got to catch up.
It's not a time to be productive. It's different. It's a break from hurry, rushing, earning, working, producing, researching, all of that. And it's this atmosphere that that atmosphere that I've been really working on too, which during my day off, that atmosphere was not restful. Mm-hmm. It was not delightful. It often made me more tense. And I really became more possessive of that time. Mm. Like, I really didn't want anyone to interrupt that, like, or ruin it. Oh, like, I was really operating in this, like, scarcity mindset, mm-hmm. which this scarcity mindset was kind of like where I was believing that I didn't have enough and mm-hmm. I wasn't enough.
Yeah.
And so I had to really protect and, like, hoard. This is my time. No one disturb. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if you do, I'll be really mad at you. Now to start my Sabbath and during the day, I remind myself and my family, we have enough, we are enough, we can rest and delight in God. Mm-hmm. You know, after striving to practice the Sabbath day rest this past year, I will say it was not easy at first. At first, I felt really tense. I was like, okay, now what? Like, what do I do? Honestly, like, felt a bit like a detox. Like, I felt like my brain was shaking and, like, need more hurry, need more things to do and listen. It was so horrible. And I also felt like I was doing it wrong the whole time. I was like, was that Sabbath thing? Was that Sabbath thing? Was that wrong? Was that work? Just the whole time. But Sabbath is really, it's not about rules. Jesus made that clear in Mark 2:27. He says the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So Sabbath is something we need to be purposeful about. It's helpful to have some boundaries in place that keep it special, keep it holy, and for it to be really a time that's resting and delighting in God. So some boundaries that I've personally put on Sabbath is no work, no social media, no cleaning, which my whole family loves that part, no parking laundry, no research, no planning, no specific shopping, like grocery shopping or like I need this piece of clothing for this whatever. Mm-hmm. No news, no doctor's appointments, no TV binging, no hard conversations, no hard talks, even with myself.
Ooh, that's good.
That's a new one. No hard workouts. That's a new one too. No hard workouts, no complicated meals or meal prepping, because that is not what I enjoy.
Right.
But I will say that there has not been a Sabbath this year that I've not crossed one of those boundaries.
Okay.
But when I cross one of those boundaries, I strive to be gentle with myself and remember I am enough, I have enough, and I can get back to practicing. And practicing Sabbath is not meant to be perfect. Mm-hmm. It's practice isn't perfect.
Right.
So, but then there's also things that I like to do on my Sabbath. I like to play with my kids and really just play, mm-hmm. you know, not be on my phone, just play.
Yep.
I like to take a nap. I like to read the Bible. I like to go on leisurely walks. I like to pray visionary prayers mm-hmm. rather than requesting prayers. I like mm-hmm. to like praise God, thank God, have vision for other people. I love to admire nature. I love to laugh loudly. I like to eat and drink things that taste good, talk with friends, play games, and practice silence and stillness. Mm. And I think different people can have different things that they do and don't do for Sabbath.
Yeah.
But I found it really beneficial to come up with a few things that you want to do and a few things that you don't want to do during practice. Like even writing it down can be helpful.
Yeah.
And just start practicing and see how it goes. Like even now, as I mentioned, like I've added some things and taken away some things to my like do list and don't list. Mm. But I'm curious, like, has there been like things similar to what I've said, or is there different ones for you?
Like in the boundaries, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think very similar, like for the weeks that I don't like hold to what I thought, like some weeks I'm like, well, I'm just going to keep my phone on me because it doesn't feel like it's stressing me out this week. I usually regret it, to be honest with you. It usually takes me to a space where I regret it and I just feel like I'm less present. I'm more anxious. I read a weird post that makes me worried about the future of my generation. Like these little things, you know, or like I get a text that makes me start thinking about something else I need to do or didn't do well. Like, so that's very similar to me. I think I love what you said though, and I love your vulnerability and just saying like, it is practice. And I think that's where I can get in this like all or nothing mentality sometimes with Sabbath. Yeah. And I really need to let God's grace kind of wash over that as well. because I think I really miss it when I don't, you know, like, and I just think that that's huge. And I love that you said maybe even write down the boundaries. I think that's something I need to do. I think I've thought through them. And there's certain ones like I'm really clear on, you know, and I like that you talked about like there is that preparation aspect of it, though. So it is hard when you're getting to that spot. And I wanted to see if you could talk a little bit more about the restlessness factor, kind of like the detox. Like that's huge. And I feel that. And then I want to fill that space. I agree. I think you have more boundaries than I do at this point, and I want to add more to mine. Not out of guilt, but out of like, I think that would help me be a little more, what's the word? I could access more of what God's offering in that time.
Yeah, no, I love that. Yeah, I wanted to talk about practicals too, because I think that whole like detox thing is so real. But I would say like a practical for that is just keep trying. Like, I think it took me a couple weeks for it to not feel like so intense. Like, I think that it's kind of even like a workout. Like, you're like, I've never done this before. And so your muscles are like shaking and they're like, I can't do this. But after a while, like you can do more and more and more. Mm-hmm. But yeah, another practical that I've really has been super helpful is prepping the night before.
Okay.
Or the day before. That means like I try to clean up the house, put away laundry, because I know tomorrow I'm not doing any of that.
Right.
I make my texts and my calls that I need for the next day. And I also think about what could I do today that will can make tomorrow restful.
Ooh, I like that.
I also keep like a to-do list or like my calendar near me during rest, and I'll write down, like, a lot of times I get amazing ideas or like on Sabbath, or I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to text this person or whatever, and I'll write it down. I won't do it. I'll just write it down. That's been really helpful, because sometimes I can feel like if I don't do it now, I'm not going to do it.
Right.
But getting in the practice of like, let me write it down. It's in my calendar. It's in my schedule. It's on my to-do list, whatever you use, but like I can do this later.
I love that.
And then I would say pick a day or time frame and stick to it as much as possible. We, you know, for some people it's Mondays, for some people it's Sundays or Saturdays. And then for some people they do from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Some people do 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. the next day. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, just make a plan. Maybe even start small. But consistency, like do it every week. If you feel like this is so impossible, like maybe you're a student and you're like, there's not a day that I can't study. Like, but is there like maybe 6 hours that you could not study?
Right.
You know, just like making it more approachable. Mm-hmm. And then, as I said, write down your boundaries, maybe even like look over the boundaries that morning of reminding yourself, this is what I want to do and this is what I don't want to do. Because I feel like I have that battle in my mind where I'm like, I can handle this. Like, it's not that big a deal. Yes. And then I'm like, no, I can't.
Right.
Like,
right.
Yeah, that's not what I want to do. And then if you're married or have children, really talk about it and plan it together. Because I think when you're creating this atmosphere and mindset of Sabbath, it's really helpful that everyone around you, for the most part, is like on the same page. Like, it would be really hard to practice Sabbath and then the other person's like, let's clean the whole house or let's plan all these things. Like that's something that James and I've had continue to have a lot of conversations about. And then to conclude, I would say to just remind ourselves, Sabbath is created by God. Mm-hmm. God rested. He rested not because he was tired, but because he wanted to delight and just be. Mm-hmm. He rested and created us to rest, not because we're weak, although compared to God, we are.
Yeah.
But because we need to delight and just be. Mm-hmm. It's a gift from God, or an invitation from God to Sabbath, to rest. And it's so fun to practice. Mm-hmm. I want to encourage you guys, like if you're listening and you've never practiced Sabbath before, try it.
Yeah.
Maybe we're going to like supply some resources for you guys, but just practice it. Try it out. It's not going to be like perfect or like look the best the first time, or maybe the first several times, but just try it.
I love that. And I think one thing that's been really helpful for me I loved the way you were talking. You made it a verb, like present progressive, like you were like Sabbathing, like when I'm Sabbathing, is Because I did get in that, I feel that headspace a lot, in that kind of tension of like, oh, can I do this? Can I not do this? You know, and kind of feel like a little like, wait, I don't think this is the point. Something I use to filter, I think it's actually John Mark Comer too, where his big filter is this rest or is this worship? And yes. If the answer is no to both of those, then it can wait. And I'm like, that is so helpful in those little in between decisions to make. And I do think this was so helpful, and so to me, it's so refreshing and exciting to think about maybe living a different way and really enjoying kind of God and the life of following him that I'm kind of advertising, like to actually enjoy that personally. I love this quote that's in that same book. It says, for many of us, the great danger is not that we will renounce our faith. It is that we will become so distracted and rushed and preoccupied that we will settle for a mediocre version of it. We will just skim our lives instead of actually living them. And I think that's what Sabbath is about. It's an invitation to really live and enjoy the life and relationship with God that he wants for us. So Elena, thank you so much for talking through all this with me. I just love it. And I'm sure people who listened, I hope this was so refreshing to your soul like it was mine. Like Elena said, try it out. Let us know. Maybe you already do this. Maybe you've been doing this for a long time and you have more to add and contribute. Please let us know. We'd love to hear. Because this, to me, this is just like, wow, like this beautiful gem that maybe we've just been walking over for a little while unknowing. So Elena, thank you so much for your time and thoughts. I am so excited about this and our friendship as well. So we really appreciate you. And like she said, she's going to kind of prepare like a little list of resources that have been helpful for her. So if you'd like to access those, we'll have a link in the show notes for those. But again, Elena, thanks for spending this time with me and sharing your heart with us.
Thank you. Love you.
Oh, love you too. And everyone who listened, thanks for your time. We pray that you really can access this new way of living in this posture of just really enjoying God's presence and provision in your life. We hope you have a great day. We'll catch you next time on the podcast.
We are one.